Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're continuing the fifth chapter of the seventh canto entitled Prahlad Maharaj, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, and continuing with text number 31. Na te viduksvarta gating he Vishnu durashaya yeva hir arta maninaha. Andayatandir upaniyamanas te pishatan tantyam urudami bada. Na te vidu swarta gating he Vishnum durashaya ye bahir arta maninaha. Andayatan dayarupaniyamanas te pishatantriyam urudami baraha. Na te viduksvarta gating he Vishnum durashaya ye bahirarta maninaha. Andayatandayarupaniyamanas te pishatantriyamurudami baraha. Ladies, please. Word for word. Na, not. Te, they. Viduhu, no. So artha gatim, the ultimate goal of life, or their own real interest. He, indeed. Vishnum, Lord Vishnu and his abode. Durashayaha, being ambitious to enjoy this material world. Yea, who? Bahihi, External sense objects. Artha maninaha, considering as valuable. Andaha, persons who are blind. Yata, just as. Andaihi, by other blind men. Upaniyamanaha, being led. Te, they. Api, although. Ishatantriyam, to the ropes. Laws of material nature. Uru, having very strong. Damni, cords. Baraha, bound. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material nature, and who have therefore accepted as their leader or guru a similar blind man, attached to external sense objects, cannot understand that the goal of life is to return home, back to Godhead, and engage in the service of Lord Vishnu. As blind men, guided by another blind man, miss the right path and fall into a ditch, materially attached men, led by another materially attached man, are bound by the ropes of fruitive labor, which are made of very strong cords, and they continue again and again in materialistic life, suffering the threefold miseries. Purport. Since there must always be a difference of opinion between demons and devotees, Hiranyakashipu, when criticized by his son Prahlad Maharaj, should not have been surprised that Prahlad Maharaj differed from his way of life. Nonetheless, Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry and wanted to rebuke his son for deriding his teacher or spiritual master, who had been born in the Brahmana family of the great Acharya Shukracharya. The word Shukra means simon, and Acharya refers to a teacher or guru. Hereditary gurus or spiritual masters have been accepted everywhere since time immemorial, but Prahlad Maharaj declined to accept such a seminal guru or take instruction from him. An actual guru is Shrotriya, one who has heard or received perfect knowledge through Parampara, the disciplic succession. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj did not recognize a seminal spiritual master. Such spiritual masters are not at all interested in Vishnu. Indeed, they are hopeful of material success. Bahir Artha Maninaha. The word Bahi means external, Artha means interest, and Manina means taking very seriously. Generally speaking, practically everyone is unaware of the spiritual world. The knowledge of the materialists is restricted within the 4 billion mile limit of this material world, which is in the dark portion of the creation. They do not know that beyond this material world is the spiritual world. Unless one is a devotee of the Lord, one cannot understand the existence of the spiritual world. Gurus, teachers, who are simply interested in this material world are described in this verse as anda, blind. Such blind men may lead other blind followers without true knowledge of material conditions, but they are not accepted by devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. Such blind teachers, being interested in external material world, are always bound by the strong ropes of material nature. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitangena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasad Vurdale Shimate Paladnanda Smaitone Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasad Vurdale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tvani Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaur Panim Charni Nirvishesh Shunivati Pashyati Adi Sucharni. So this verse just kind of sums it up. This is where we are. We're here in this material world, and everyone is blinded by their lust for trying to exploit this material energy. This is actually why we all come here to this material world, is to try to dominate and exert our will, the force of our will, upon this material energy to bend it, manipulate it, and force it to do things for our pleasure. If we think about it, what the real issue is, the real essence of the problem, is that we're all trying to be Krishna. Ultimately, it stems from envy of Krishna, because Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. As Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, I'm not a shloka expert. He also says that he's the overseer and the permitter of all activities. In the 13th chapter of the Gita. So, Krishna is the one who oversees and permits and allows everything to happen. He's the one who controls and manipulates this material energy, and everything is orchestrated for his pleasure. So naturally, materialistic people, because they're in the enjoying mentality, to explain that there's two types of mentality. There's Purusha and there's Prakriti. Really, there is only one Purusha. And that Purusha is Krishna. Everything else is Prakriti. So Purusha is the enjoyer. Prakriti is that which is enjoyed. But the problem is that all of us living entities that find ourselves here in this material world, we're here because we want to be the Purusha. We want to be the enjoyer. And we want to enjoy Prakriti. But that's not our natural constitutional position. So we come down here to this material world to try to enjoy this Prakriti of Krishna's. And with this mentality of a false enjoyer, when we hear of the real nature of the universe and the real nature of Krishna, most materialistic people, they get some perverted idea. They think, oh, what a controlling, manipulative person God must be, creating people just to be his slaves and minions. You know, why should I serve God? Why should I please his senses? Why doesn't he please my senses? He owes me. I didn't ask to be created. But really it's about relationship. It's explained that even though we are by constitutional position servants, it doesn't mean that only the master, only the Purusha is actually enjoying. Through this cooperation between Purusha and Prakriti, actually both enjoy equally. Actually, Prakriti enjoys more. Of course, the most idealized interaction of Purusha and Prakriti is that of Radha and Krishna. Radharani loves Krishna so much that she's constantly trying to think of new ways to serve and please Krishna. And Krishna is so pleased by her service that he becomes very happy. And when Krishna becomes very happy, Radharani becomes even more happy. And then when Krishna sees Radharani becoming very happy, then he becomes more happy. And it's this constant back and forth where each becomes happier by seeing the other becoming happier. But because we're very narrow-minded and we're very envious, we've wound up here in this material world trying to exploit what limited resources we've been allowed to interact with. Just like Krishna explains in the Gita, there's the Kshetra and the Kshetriya. So we, the Jiva soul, we're actually the Kshetriya, we're the knower of this field. And each of us, based upon our previous karma and based upon our desire, where we want to go with it in this lifetime, we've been allotted a certain kshetra, a certain field of activities which we can experience here in this material world. And we're trying so diligently to try to fully exploit this field. We're fully researching and actively developing all the ugra karma we can to mine and dig out and exploit to the maximum that we can this field. Every materialistic person in this world, to whatever extent, they find some piece of this field, this kshetra that they are attracted to, and they just dig into it. Naturally, because they're blind, but even in the spiritual world, even in spiritual undertakings, we still need a teacher. So in the material world, people aren't interested in spiritual teachings. Instead, they're interested, how can I exploit more perfectly? How can I perfect my life of exploitation? And so they take help from other people who have become successful at exploitation. There's so many seminars, there's so many role models, so many heroes. You know, how to be a millionaire seminar. You have your favorite rap star, your favorite movie star, favorite rock star, favorite sports star. So many role models and so many materialistic gurus. Each one proclaiming, I know the secret to success. I know how to reach perfection. But the problem is, because our intelligence is polluted, we don't know what real perfection is. Granted, most people do fall under the category of being innocent. Not innocent in the sense that they've never done anything wrong, but just innocent in the fact that they're not consciously aware of the fact that they have a demonic mentality and that they're actively pursuing a demonic lifestyle. There are some people that are aware of this. They are aware of the existence, or maybe they aren't aware of the existence of God, but they're actively inimical to the existence of God. And they actively participate in the acceleration of exploitation of material energy. These are demonic people in the real sense. They're the they're who are referred to as being envious for the Madhyamadhikari. They can identify four different things. They can identify the Supreme Lord. They can recognize the devotees, the innocent, and those who are envious. So they worship Krishna, they make friends with the devotees, they give mercy to the innocent, and they avoid the envious. So these envious people, they're actively promoting materialistic culture. It's a very small percentage of people that are genuinely envious. But they're the most vocal in the advocation of exploitation of this material energy. They're the ones who become the gurus, encouraging everyone else. Just see, I've become so wealthy. I've cheated, I've exploited, I've ripped off the whole world for billions and trillions of dollars. And then other mini demons, they think, ooh, yes, wow, this person is so amazing, they're so wealthy, so powerful, they really learned how to enjoy in this material world. Let me take shelter from this person. But Prabhupada has explained that these are all fallible soldiers. I actually like Prabhupada's pronunciation of fallible. He would call it fallible, because they fall down. they can't provide real protection. People take shelter of these so-called protectors. But these protectors can't provide actual protection. Why? Because they're going to die. Somebody who can give you real protection won't actually be subject to birth and death. Which is why, really, Krishna and his pure devotees are the only people. Krishna's a person too. Are the only people that we can actually take shelter from. Because Krishna and the devotees, they're not subject to birth and death. When we take initiation from a bona fide spiritual master, we're learning genuine teachings that aren't subject to these tribulations of the material world. It's not relative teachings. In other words, the things that we learn, the things that we come to understand and mold our life around, they're not subject to these ropes, these chains of the material world. But these blind people running after all this illusory sense gratification, the more they dig in and try to exploit this material world, the more they themselves are bound by the material world and suffer because of the material world. It's like, just imagine hitting someone in front of you and then getting hit from someone behind you. The more actively we pursue the exploitation of this material world, the more actively this material energy grabs and exploits us. There's a nice description of it that I heard once before. It's like getting stung by a bee on the underside of your toe. I don't know if anyone's actually ever had that happen. I have. Actually, in the grass right out here in front of the Bhakti house. There's those little clover flowers and the bees like to be in there. And if you're walking barefoot, you don't necessarily see the bee in the flower. So one time the bee stung me right underneath the toe. And the natural reaction is for the toe to curl. When it experiences pain, the toe curls up. But when the bee's there, the toe curls around the bee, and it actually squeezes the bee, injecting more poison into your toe. So that's the nature of the material world. We're getting stung by this material world in a very sensitive place that's actually causing our grip on the material world to tighten. And the more we get stung by the material world, the more our grip tightens around this material energy, causing us to get stung even more. It's a really vicious cycle. And so people get so bound by these ropes of material energy known as the three gunas. Guna means rope in Sanskrit. The three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. So the more we endeavor to try to exploit this material world for our own aggrandizement, the more we get bound by these very strong ropes of material energy. And the more we're bound by these ropes, the more we suffer. And then we wonder, why am I suffering so much? Why is this life so painful? Why is it so difficult? But it's simply a product of our own endeavor. Krishna explains it very nicely in the Bhagavad Gita. He explains actually how to get out of this. It's very simple. Krishna says in verse 270 from the Gita, Apuryamana machala pratishtam samudra pak pravishanti yadvat tadvat kama yang pravishanti sarve sashantim apnotina kama kami. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean which is ever being filled but always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So this is the nature both of the spiritualist and the materialist. The spiritualist is not striving to satisfy all these desires that are flowing into their heart like unlimited rivers into the ocean. But the materialist is so agitated by all these rivers that they're striving after all these different rivers of desires flowing into their heart. A materialistic person is very easily distracted. And we can see it practically nowadays in modern society. In previous times, life moved much slower. If you wanted to communicate with someone, it was either personally, face-to-face, or you would have to write a letter. Can you imagine that? Writing a letter by hand, putting a stamp on it, and sending it? I know people still do it nowadays, but it's becoming so infrequent that the post office is actually almost bankrupt. It's so old-fashioned that the current generation doesn't even know how to write letters. In fact, they've even abandoned email for the most part. They just text. So as society progresses into more and more materialistic ways, the more opportunities for distraction happens. In this so-called information age, life moves so quickly. There's so many different distractions upon our consciousness. So many different opportunities for sense gratification. As these opportunities increase, so also our attention span decreases, because we become so distracted by all these different rivers. It's like there's a massive monsoon happening, and the number of rivers flowing into the ocean of our heart, all these different desires, it's increasing exponentially, distracting us to the point to where, I forget how many of it, I think it's 8.7% of all the children in the United States are diagnosed with ADD. Not only diagnosed, but also given prescriptions, given amphetamines as prescriptions for ADD. But what's an amphetamine? It's just another stimulant. It's another thing stimulating our desires. So this is what ADD is. It's a product of too much sense gratification, too many opportunities to pursue sense enjoyment. And people become so bewildered by all these unnecessary opportunities that they can't even focus anymore. They can't even concentrate. So you can see how this is progressively plunging people further and further into the modes. People started first in a very sattva-gun sort of environment, communicating to people face-to-face. But then that wasn't good enough. They had to do it faster. So then they invented the telegram. Then the telegram turned into the telephone. Then the telephone turned into the internet. And as it became more rajasic, more passionate, more rapid communication, now it's turning tamasic. Because so many opportunities for gratifying the senses. And what's the only solution? To put yourself in ignorance, to take drugs. To drug your mind and your senses. And so now we'll see our society plunge into deeper and darker realms of existence, becoming more and more bound by these stringent laws. And then we can never have happiness. And people are wondering, why are people being so depressed? 10% of the population is on antidepressants. 10%, that's a significant percentage. Almost 10% are on amphetamines. Obesity is the number one so-called disease in society right now. That's another symptom of an overactive senses. Obesity means if your body fat, if your body mass index is 20% greater than it should be. It's 20% greater than it should be, then you're considered obese. And all these things, it's just symptoms of our degradation. It's like we're in a sprint trying to satisfy our senses as fast as we can. And it's leading to nothing but misery. And so Krishna very plainly says, he says, these people can never achieve peace. The only way you can achieve peace is by not being disturbed. Engage in austerity. When these desires flow into our heart, just tolerate them. Don't run after them. Tolerate. Be patient. Don't worry, the desires will go away. They'll come and they'll go just as quickly as they came. But for the person of disturbed mind, they can't take good instruction and they run after it anyway and then they suffer. Then they lament, why am I suffering so much? How is this happening? Yeah, this verse is so amazing today, today's verse. When I was reading the purport, trying to prepare for class, I was thinking about all these other verses, and then naturally it did full cycle. I was thinking, oh yeah, and then I should quote that other verse, Nate Viduk Swartika Ting. And then I looked at today's actual verse, and I realized, actually that's today's verse. It went full circle. But this is a very important verse. This verse, everyone should memorize. Everyone should fully understand. Because this is our situation. We are here in this material world, bound by these stringent ropes of material energy. And we're trying to take help of superior individuals, people with more knowledge than us. But because our intelligence is polluted, we're simply being led by other blind men. And because we ourselves are blind, most people don't even notice because they're too blind to even notice. But they're being led by another blind person. So everyone's falling into a ditch, breaking their bones on the ground below them and wondering why they're suffering so much. So that's why it's so important that since we do have this knowledge and we do have a little bit of understanding, that we try to share this. So this weekend we're having our monthly Sankirtan festival. Everyone is cordially invited to participate. We'll be meeting at the Bhakti House at 9:30 for a little bit of kirtan. And then ideally leaving for our book distribution spot by 10:30. So we can approach as many strangers as possible, as many people bound by these stringent ropes. And try to free them, to cut these ropes with the sword of knowledge, these transcendental teachings of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, in the form of Bhagavad Gita as it is, to allow everyone the opportunity to learn about the real perfection of life. So I'll end there if there's any comments or questions. The translation is, persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life, and who have therefore accepted as their leader or guru a similar blind man attached to external sense objects, cannot understand that the goal of life is to return home back to Godhead and engage in the service of Lord Vishnu. As blind men guided by another blind man miss the right path and fall into a ditch, materially attached men led by another materially attached man are bound by the ropes of fruit of labor, which are made of very strong cords, and they continue again and again in materialistic life, suffering the threefold miseries. Yes, Prabhu. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, it's not about learning how to just survive in the material world. That's missing the point. It's about how to escape the material world. This material world is also called Durga. You know, it's a fortress that's very difficult to escape from. It's a prison. It's not that we want prisons. Prisons are necessary. For a properly functioning society, it's necessary to have prisons. Why? Because not everyone is interested in following the rules of proper societal behavior. So in the spiritual world, there's a proper conduct that everyone needs to follow, proper mentality, and that mentality is serving Krishna, being a devotee. So naturally there will be a section of society that doesn't want to follow the standard rules of engagement, the proper codes of behavior. They want to act in deviant ways. And since we've been given free will, people are allowed to do so. But not at the expense of the rest of society. So these deviant people are sent off to prison. They're sent to jail, where they suffer the consequences of their deviant behavior. So the spiritual world also, they take all the deviant people, are sent to a separate place, so the atmosphere of the spiritual world isn't polluted. And the separate place for the deviant personality is called the material world. We're all here suffering in the material world, bound by the chains of our own desires. So it's not about learning how to survive in the material world. We'll survive anyway. We're eternal personalities. We can never die. It's not a question of survival. It's a question of how to escape, how to get out of here, how to go back to the spiritual world. And so other people also raise the objection, well, if everyone took up this spiritual way of life, then society would collapse. The answer is big deal. We're not even supposed to be here. It's like somebody complaining, oh my God, the prisons are empty, what are we going to do? You celebrate. You don't lament. Is that okay? Try. Anyone else? Yes. Well, that's one step of the process in that verse. You know, it's not that verse isn't mentioning the ultimate perfection, how to achieve it. That verse is just saying that if you want to be peaceful and happy, don't strive after satisfying all these desires flowing into your heart. Because those won't satisfy you. If you take into context the greater teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, it's teaching you to always engage your mind in the service of Krishna. In fact, since that's the most important teaching, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that in the introduction, just before it starts getting into the Gita Mahatmya. In the introduction, Prabhupada says, this is the art and the science of Bhagavad Gita. How to engage our mind in the service of Krishna constantly. And that's what will bring actual perfection. And Krishna repeats that over and over and over and over again in every single chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Jai. Granta Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.